Great to have you with us this morning. Today is a little bit different, as has been the custom for quite some time. Our elders plan to speak to us for a little while today, looking back at the year that has passed and thinking about the year that is ahead. So they're going to talk to us in a little while, which means that my part of today's service is going to be very brief. But I would like you to think about a couple of things from the Scriptures with me. First of all, I just want you to think about the date, January 29th, because on this very day, 1,030 years ago, January 29th in the year 993, the Roman Catholic Church officially recognized its first saint, Ulrich, who was the Bishop of Augsburg in Germany until his death in 973. On this day, in 993, was canonized by a Lateran Synod under Pope John the 15th. It was the first time that that at least from the papal level and from the hierarchy level of the Roman Catholic Church, someone had been recognized as a saint. Today, the Catholic catalog of saints numbers in the thousands. According to a Catholic website, it's just called catholic.org, in order for a person to be elevated to sainthood in the Catholic Church, one, that person must have died. Two, the person must have lived a life of heroic virtue or have been killed for the cause of Christ. And three, at least two miracles must have taken place as a result of a specific petition to that person after his death. I want you to think about the implications of that third one for a minute. The idea that I can pray to someone who has died and in that way possibly obtain some kind of miraculous intervention in life. Well, the New Testament word saint comes from the same word that is translated holy, the same word that is translated sanctify. And it means, most basically, a person who is set apart to God. Nowhere is the term reserved for someone, living or dead, who's characterized by exceptional acts of piety. Nor is there any suggestion in the Bible that departed saints somehow intercede for those still living in prayer in some way. In Scripture, the word saint is a word that is fit to describe every person who is in Christ. I know sometimes we just adopt the typical way of speaking. When we talk about our imperfections, we may say, I'm no saint. But if you're a Christian in the New Testament sense, you most certainly are. In Scripture, the holy ones are the disciples of Christ, who in their belief, their faith, and obedience to the gospel have devoted their lives to godliness. That's a word, concept that is found often in the New Testament. Here's how Paul opens his letter to the Corinthian church, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling, with all who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Here's how Paul opens his letter to the Ephesian Christians. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. You can find that kind of language in many of the New Testament epistles in many places. We're talking about the concept of holiness. We have been in our auditorium Bible class studying most recently in the book of Leviticus. That is a book that emphasizes from start to finish the holiness of God and the requisite holiness that God asks of His people if they would be set apart to Him. We've learned that under the Old Testament law, there were all kinds of things that emphasized that many of the physical things, the tabernacle, its furnishings, the garments of the priest, the meat of sacrificial animals were holy, dedicated to God's service. There were all kinds of regulations that basically emphasized one thing, an unclean, unsanctified person is not fit for communion with a holy God. And a sinful person is not really fit for communion with a holy God. And yet, God has seen fit to provide an avenue whereby we can have that fellowship and communion with Him anyway. That was done to a degree under the statutes of the law of Moses. It is done perfectly under the gospel of Christ. In Leviticus, in Exodus chapter 19, here's the desire that God expressed for the people of Israel, Exodus chapter 19 and verse 5. He said, "Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among the peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." In the New Testament, in 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter quotes from those words, among others, in highlighting our status as the holy people of God. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." That holiness, that sanctified status, is something that creates for us the responsibility and the duty to live holy lives. And so Peter says this in the first chapter of his book, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14, "As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" Our invitation this morning is twofold. First of all, if you're a Christian, you need to realize, recognize, you're a saint. You are one of the holy people of God. The question is, are you living that way? The expectation of the New Testament is not that we will be sinlessly perfect, but it is that we will dedicate ourselves to lives of holiness, and that includes, when we fall short, we will seek God's forgiveness and know that He is always willing to extend it. The question is, what has your life been reflecting lately, Christian? Have you been living the life of a saint or living the life of one who is not set apart to God? If there are some corrections you need to make, why not take this opportunity to do that? Because you have, in this group of Christians present here this morning, folks who will encourage you and pray for you and help you in any way we can. Second, if you're not a Christian, then we want to invite you to become a saint this morning. That doesn't mean you won't have problems and struggles. That doesn't mean you'll be floating around with a halo on over your head from now on. But it means you'll be one of the special people of God, a partaker in the benefits and blessings of being His child. And that includes forgiveness of sin, and a purpose for living that is new, citizenship in heaven, the hope of eternal life. All of that is what God offers to you. What He asks of you is that you respond in faith to that invitation this morning, that you submit to the Lord in repentance and in baptism this morning and go away from this place justified in Christ. We're going to sing a song that I hope will encourage you to obey the gospel. It's number 298, if you want to go ahead and be turning there. It's meant to encourage you to take those steps. If you need correction and forgiveness as God's child, or if you need to become God's child, we hope we can encourage you and help you in that, to become one of God's saints, one of God's holy people with us. You ready to respond to that invitation? Then let us know. Let's stand. Let's sing together.